Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Wednesday. Happy hump day, February 21st, 2018. And that's right, you are now locked into the most entertaining hour of your day. It is Current Sports Live right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. For those watching via Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, much love to all of our viewers and our listeners. We've got a great show in store for you throughout these next 60 minutes, one that will focus heavily on Spartan basketball, seeing as though your Michigan State men's basketball team can now call itself a Big Ten championship. Well, I should say Big Ten champion for the 2018 year. How fun was that last night? You know, we had a show yesterday centered on previewing Senior Day, and I noted how much I love that night as we bid adieu to whoever the senior class may be for that particular year. Last night we said farewell. East Lansing said farewell to Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., Ben Carter, as well as Gavin Schilling. But also what added to the emotion of that night was the fact that due to the dominating victory over Illinois, Michigan State clinched at least a share of the Big Ten championship. The Big Ten championship trophy was in the house. It was on the court. And we saw a banner, a 2018 Big Ten championship banner raised to the rafters last night. What a scene it was. I will describe what it was like, what it was, just the overall feeling and emotion of what it was like to cover that moment on the court. You'll get to hear from head coach Tom Izzo. You will get to hear from seniors, Tum Tum, Gavin, and Ben. And also, Miles Bridges. Because even though we know it's senior night, and three Spartans were honored last night due to it being senior night, and the last time we will see those three seniors on the court at the Breslin. However, there are two Spartans who are projected to go pretty high in this year's upcoming NBA draft in sophomore Miles Bridges and freshman Jaren Jackson Jr. You will get a chance to hear what exactly Miles Bridges had to say on it possibly being his final time rocking the rims at the Breslin last night. You don't want to miss that. And it's also senior night for the Michigan State women's basketball team as Susie Merchant's troops will welcome the Wisconsin Badgers to the Breslin Center. And there will be a few seniors honored tonight on that team, which will include Michigan State senior forward from Fishers, Indiana, Taya Reimer. Reimer is scheduled to join us here on our airwaves live around 1:30 p.m. You don't want to miss that chat. Taya, also a former production assistant of ours who did a fantastic job. Just a great, great player who has a very bright future on and off the court. And then on the back end of the show, I'll weigh in on the whole Louisville men's basketball program controversy surrounding the NCAA investigation, and the NCAA has decided to crack down on the Cardinals, and they have issued sanctions that have led to vacating wins which do include that 2013 national championship in which Louisville bested John Beilein's Michigan Wolverines. So we'll talk about that story, all the while allowing you to be a part of the fun. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. As I mentioned, our Facebook page is up. Well, it's always up, but our Facebook Live is up, I should say, at facebook.com/currentsports. You can watch the live stream there and comment below the video or tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team, which clinched at least a share of the 2017-18 Big Ten regular season title with an 81-61 win at home against Illinois last night. It is the first league title for Michigan State since 2012. The Spartans can make it really their first outright crown since 09 when they traveled to Wisconsin this Sunday to wrap up the regular season. Miles Bridges led the way with 19 points, 5 boards, 3 assists in what could be his last home game. He hit 4 of MSU's 11 three-pointers. The Spartans bench outscored Illinois 42-12. Jaren Jackson Jr. had 8 points, 4 boards, 5 blocks coming off the bench for the first time in his freshman season, seeing as though the team collectively decided to allow Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nieren Jr., Gavin Schilling, and Ben Carter to start due to it being their final time at the Brez. He, too, and Jaren Jackson Jr., could join Bridges as an early entrant into the NBA draft. And Cassius Winston had a great night in the second half. He had 12 points, 5 assists coming off the bench as well. Nick Ward, 8.7 boards in just 15 minutes in a reserve role to accommodate MSU's 3 seniors starting. Josh Langford, 16 points for him, and Kenny Goins also had 9 points. Though Coach Tom Izzo now has 8 Big Ten regular season titles, he only has 2 outright. The Spartans can give him his 3rd if they, again, can get that 12th straight win come this Sunday on the road. The Louisville men's basketball program will have to vacate its 2013 national championship and 2012 Final Four appearance after the NC2A denied its appeal of what the school described as draconian penalties levied against the team last year. The Cardinals will become the first NCAA Division I men's basketball program to vacate a national title during the Final Four era. The NCAA penalties are the result of an investigation that included allegations that a former Louisville staff member arranged for striptease dances and sex acts for players and recruits during parties at an on-campus dormitory from 2011 to 2015. Former Louisville head coach Rick Pitino has denied knowledge of those said parties. Pitino, who was fired as Louisville's coach on October 16th, he faced a 5-game suspension at the start of ACC play this season. Now, the allegations in the federal complaint included an accusation that Adidas executives Jim Gatto and Merrill Code conspired with former sports agent Christian Dawkins and financial planner Munish Sood to funnel $100,000 to the father of Louisville recruit, and MSU was also after this recruit, Brian Bowen, to ensure that his son signed with the Cardinals. Bowen, a 5-star recruit from Saginaw, Michigan, was indefinitely suspended by Louisville officials in September and never played in a game for the Cardinals. He has denied knowledge of the pay-for-play scheme and transferred to South Carolina on January 10th. The number 17th-ranked University of Michigan men's basketball team closes its Big Ten regular season on the road, starting with a visit to State College, Pennsylvania, tonight against Penn State at the Bryce Jordan Center. Tip time set for 7 p.m. with the game to be broadcast on the Big Ten Network. Michigan is coming off their own standout performances against Iowa and Ohio State, putting themselves in prime position for a double bye come Big Ten tourney time out in NYC. It's senior night for Penn State. Win over Michigan and Penn State would get a quadrant one dub. That would help their tournament resume, of course. Now, ESPN's Joe Lunardi currently has Penn State as one of the first four out in the latest projections. The Michigan State women's basketball team will conclude the regular season portion of the home schedule, hosting Wisconsin tonight at 7 p.m. The game will be streamed on BTN+. The Spartans will honor its five seniors. Those are from the D, Brandy Agee, also Kiara Carter, Lexi Gussert, Kennedy Johnson, and Taya Reimer, who, again, is scheduled to join us here on the show in about 20 minutes. Following the game against Wisconsin, the Spartans will say goodbye to those seniors. And transferring from Notre Dame after completing her undergraduate degree, senior forward Taya Reimer has spent two seasons in a Spartan uniform. Forward Kennedy Johnson, guard and forward Lexi Gussert, and guard Kiara Carter have been with the program for 4 years. I will have a two-minute drill report later on tonight as the dust settles on tonight's game. For about 40 minutes, the Detroit Red Wings were the better team on Tuesday night against the Nashville Predators, but it was those opening 20 minutes that really hurt the Winged Will pretty badly. They spotted a good Nashville team, two goals, and the Predators held on for a 3-2 dub at Little Caesars Arena. The loss ended a seven-game win streak that Detroit had over Nashville, though it came somewhat close to being extended. The Wings have lost three of four games overall, while the Predators have won four of their last six. The Detroit Lions continue to stockpile coaches with an expertise in the offensive line. The Lions have added another offensive line mind to the mix in Brian Piccone, who had been Maine's offensive line coach and run game coordinator. His title in Detroit will be offensive assistant coach slash quality control. He played at Syracuse from 89 to 1993. The last 3 years of which came under a new Lions defensive coordinator, Paul Pasqualoni. That makes Piccone at least the ninth member of the coaching staff who either played for or coached at Syracuse, including Matt Patricia himself, who coached under Pasqualoni from 01 to 03. On Tuesday night, Sports Illustrated published the findings of a months-long investigation into a pattern of misogyny and predatory sexual misconduct within the Dallas Mavericks organization in the NBA. Included in the expose are multiple details about allegations aimed at Terdema Useri, who was the president of the Mavs for 18 years. Useri has denied the allegations made against him in a statement to SI, calling them, quote, outright false and inflammatory. And last but not least, Mike Patrick has ended his long and distinguished career at the worldwide leader, ESPN. Patrick began his play-by-play role with the network back in 1982. He called his last event on December 30th, Iowa State's 21-20 victory over Memphis in the 2017 AutoZone Liberty Bowl. The network made this announcement, I should say, today. Patrick will be at Cameron Indoor Stadium tonight for the Duke-Louisville basketball game. He will join Dan Shulman, Jay Billis, and Maria Taylor for an on-air segment. He was the voice of ESPN's Sunday Night Football program from 1987 to 2005 and played a major role in broadcast of college football and basketball. He called more than 30 ACC basketball championships and was the voice of ESPN's women's Final Four coverage from 96 to 2009. ESPN will air a tribute to his career, narrated by host Reese Davis, throughout today's SportsCenter. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, join us via Facebook as well at facebook.com/currentsports. Live stream is up and running. Or join the convo via Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports or tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR.
Is naturally a night filled with so many emotions here at the Breslin Center. It's when the senior class for the Michigan State men's basketball team says goodbye to East Lansing, kissing the Spartan head. And heck, as you see behind me, senior members of the Izzone even get a chance to kiss the Spartan head here at the Breslin. But tonight it was all about seniors Gavin Schilling, Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nearing Jr., as well as Ben Carter. But adding to that emotion was not only the fact that we said goodbye to these fantastic players, but also the fact that Michigan State clinches a share of the Big Ten championship for the first time since 2012 in a win over Illinois. As you talked about, Tom, your team has been through a lot this year. This moment has to mean a lot more, right?
You know what? Every year it's special, and every team it's special what they get a chance to do. But, you know, as I said, I feel that there's been some difficult times here this year, and I'm hoping that this team can help, you know, our community, our university, and our survivors. And it's just a game. It's not as important as they are, but it's just something to feel a smile about and feel good about.
Spartan Nation, just to tell you, we not done.
Definitely gonna miss the coaching staff. You know, like I said, you've been knowing me for 4 years. This coaching staff is, you know, gave me opportunity to, you know, one day take care of my family. And I know they said, I heard somebody say, Coach Izzo said, I've done more for the program than they have done for me. It's probably one thing I don't agree with. You know, that this program has gave me so many things that I couldn't ever dreamed of as a kid, and I'm so humbled by it and so thankful.
I just want to be remembered as a guy who just gave it his all day in and day out, and just be remembered as a tough guy who you know, just led the younger guys and who just did everything he could for the program.
Coach Izzo, a lot goes into coming off an injury, and Coach Izzo took a chance on me coming off my first ACL. Thank you guys for that. I'm glad we can raise your hand along with all that. So thank you very much for coming out.
How ready do you think this team is for the postseason?
You know, the first half, we weren't very ready for it. Although they played pretty good, made some big shots. The second half, I thought we clamped down again. You know, it's can we put two halves together? So if we can start doing that, I'll say we're more ready for the postseason.
And the big elephant in the locker room after this one was said and done is the fact that there are two underclassmen that are projected to go pretty high in this year's upcoming NBA draft. In freshman Jaren Jackson Jr., and sophomore Miles Bridges. Is this the final time that we will see Bridges and Jackson play on this very court?
So, Miles, I ask it this way. Did the thought cross your mind at all that this may be your last time in the Breslin?
Not really. I was just thinking about winning. That's really the only thing that was on my mind, and that's going to be on my mind for the rest of the season.
What a night it was. What a night it was. Senior night for the Michigan State men's basketball team. The final time you Spartan fans will get a chance to see, in my opinion, Tom Izzo's best roster the final time you get to see that talented roster play inside of the friendly confines of the Breslin Center. That was a brief snippet of, well, maybe it wasn't too brief, right? But that was a snippet from my 2-minute drill report from last night. Again, if you want the visual of that report, just simply go to facebook.com/currentsports as I follow the 2-minute drill centered on senior day at the Breslin as Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., Gavin Schilling, and Ben Carter. All three were honored. It's so cool how they do it. I absolutely love how the Michigan State men's basketball program does senior night. And I love the tradition of the kiss of the Spartan head in the center of the court. And it just so happened to work out. Now, I must say, watching that first half, and that's why, I'm a little bit weary about this team. I'm a little bit weary. Far too often do they let the competition that they are clearly more talented than, they allow that competition to just linger around way too close. But it was just a 3-point game going into the half. Illinois fought really, really hard that first half. But the cream usually rises to the top, right? And we saw Michigan State clamp down on defense, not really give Illinois any good looks. Cassius Winston really sparked everything, dropping a few dimes to get that offense rolling. Miles Bridges began to emerge, and that jump shot, that silky smooth jumper began to fall, and Michigan State went on a cruise in that win. So it allowed, you know, with it being a blowout victory, it allowed Michigan State to put in its seniors and have all three have a nice curtain call at the end. As we saw Gavin, Tum, and Ben all, you know, a timeout or a break and play happened either at the foul line or due to a timeout, and all three got the chance to kiss the Spartan head, wave to the crowd, and go over and give Tom Izzo a handshake or a big old teddy bear hug. And it was a classy move, you know, what I really, really liked. And I tell you what, again, one of my favorite players, this may be, you know, out of what, you know, dating back to my college career that began covering the team due to internships. I mean, I've been covering Michigan State sports now since about 2010. So for about 8 years. During those 8 years, you know, one of the first athletes I ever got the chance to cover was Draymond Green. And I absolutely love covering Draymond because, you know, he was much like he was then as he is now with the Golden State Warriors. He never bit his tongue. He was a hard-nosed guy, this big personality, so much charisma. And, you know, I can name other players like, you know, I love covering Keith Appling, you know, despite what he's going through right now. I love covering Keith Appling. You know, when he was here at Michigan State, he was always just down to earth and willing to joke around with the media a bit and very open. Bryn Forbes, Denzel Valentine, I had covered those two young studs when they were actually in high school at Lansing Sexton. But, you know, if I had to peg who is my favorite, who has been my favorite Michigan State men's basketball player to cover, without a doubt, it would be Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr. at the top of that list. Tum is a player that may not have gone out and given you just lights out, you know, scoring performances or performances for the ages with this program. But we all know that this 3-time captain is one of the best leaders. And that's something, leadership is something that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr. is one of the best leaders this program has ever had. But Tum is one of those guys that when you talk to him, you become so inspired. You know, when just looking at his story, I mean, this is a young man who came from the Bahamas at the age of 13, had to adjust to American culture, became a really good basketball player. He was Tom Izzo's third option when recruiting a point guard, comes to the program, and is just a leader from the moment he stepped on campus. And when you talk to Tum, you know, I told the story yesterday how, you know, we had Tum. Tum is actually the last guest that we had on Current Sports TV. This is about 2 years ago. Tum was scheduled to do a sit down with me about a 40-minute sit down, and he hits me up. He texts me saying, "Hey Al, I don't have a ride." And I say, "Oh, don't worry about it, Tum. I'll come pick you up." So I pick him up, and during the car ride, you know, not far from our studio here at the Communication Arts and Sciences on the campus of Michigan State University, And, you know, it's about like a literally like a 5 minute ride. And during that ride, we're just talking about life, you know, where he's from, you know, his family, how grateful he is to be here, and his spirituality. And that is something that Tom is not shy about when it comes to expressing his spirituality with the man upstairs and how much that means to him. And you just get a great feeling when talking with him. I mean, this is a young man that he may not play in the NBA. You know, he may go into coaching. But I do know one thing. Whatever Tom decides to do away from basketball, he is going to be immensely successful at it. Because of the type of guy he is, the type of man he has become, I should say, the type of person he is. I look forward to watching his journey away from Michigan State after this season is all said and done. But Tom, one of my favorite athletes, as you just heard him during that intro, he's just so grateful. And yeah, Tom Izzo noted, you know, one of my favorite quotes coming out of last night, Tom Izzo noted that Tom has done more for him than vice versa. You know, and that's speaking a lot. That speaks a lot to the character of Lou Rawls, Tum Nearing Jr. And Gavin Schilling, you know, who had injury problems, as well as Ben Carter, two players who have had injury problems throughout their tenure here at Michigan State University. Getting a chance to speak with them and to hear their thoughts on their respective journeys was also very, very cool. But again, the added fact that you honor three outstanding players who have meant a lot to this program in the past 4 years. They're 4 years here at Michigan State. But you honor them, but you also add to the emotion of that night a Big Ten championship, the first one for Michigan State since 2012. That is the year I graduated from Michigan State University, the first Big Ten regular season championship since 2012. And, you know, it's so funny because Tom Izzo, when he grabbed the mic and as he's addressing the crowd about, you know, what the three seniors mean to this program, then he turned around. And I didn't know, I don't think any of us media members knew that the trophy was going to be in the house. We turned to our left, and there is the trophy next to Jim Donatelli of MSU Athletics. And Tom says, you know what, Miles, you returned to raise banners and to hoist up trophies. Well, we have a trophy here in the house, and Miles and Tom, I want you guys to hoist up the trophy right now. We have it over there, and then you see the trophy, and then Miles. I don't think I've ever seen Miles Bridges, and we have footage of it, again, on that two-minute drill report of Miles Bridges grabbing the trophy. I don't think I've ever seen Miles Bridges smile that big, but what a moment it was. What a moment it was, and you heard, you know, the question that I asked Tom, and you know, this is a bit different. Senior night is always a bit different because you get the rare opportunity to possibly, and we're not supposed to do this, but us media members, you know, with everything being a bit informal on that night, we get the chance to interview some of the players and even Coach Izzo on the basketball court after the game. So, you know, I asked Tom, I mean, does this Big Ten championship mean a bit more considering the fact that you guys have gone through so much criticism in the national media? And Dan Murphy was in the house from ESPN. He asked Tom, you know, do you plan on addressing the ESPN report, the Travis Walton report from our network? And Tom said, as he always has said throughout this year, you know, there's going to be a time where I will. But right now I'm focusing on my team. I'm focusing on the survivors. But with everything that's gone on negative away from this program, off the court, I should say, does this mean more? And you heard Tom's response. You know, this is something that the community needed. I think this is something that, and again, I've noted, you know, throughout the past few weeks here that a Big Ten championship, that's all fine and dandy, but a team this talented has much bigger fish to fry, right? They want to win a national championship. A Big Ten regular season championship, that's all fine and dandy, but the major goal here is reaching the potential of a national championship for Michigan State. They all know that, but the reason why I think this Big Ten championship means so much, not from a win and loss perspective here, not from a statistical accomplishment perspective here, but the fact that so much has been riddled and negativity here in East Lansing due to what we've seen in the national media from ESPN and, of course, the Larry Nassar sentencing, that I think when it comes to the healing process of MSU athletics, this helped a bit. It was really a feel-good moment to look around the Breslin and see fans cheering, to see smiles on everyone's faces. This became a much-needed getaway from all of the negativity that has gone on in this area for the past few weeks. And that's why I think this one means a bit more to Spartan Nation when evaluating it. And you can see that emotion on the fans last night. You could see that emotion on the face of Tom Izzo and the players. So, real briefly, before we hit our first break here, again, sophomore forward and guard, Miles Bridges, he scored 19 points to lead the way for MSU last night. MSU has now won 11 straight games. Very impressive stuff. 27-3, that's the best start in program history, not just in the Tom Izzo era. 15-2 in the Big Ten Conference. Illinois falls to 13-16 overall, 3-13 in Big Ten play. But I tell you what, Illinois' defense and their effort, that effort that they showed in that first half was very admirable. The Illini went without a field goal, though, for the first 6-10 of the second half, as the Spartan defense just really clamped down and showed you why they are projected to be such a big-time team. So, we'll hit our first break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about Michigan State women's basketball senior night. Taya Reimer is scheduled to join me here live on our airwaves. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A discussing the Michigan State men's basketball Big Ten championship clinching win over Illinois last night. A few key stats I want to throw out there before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports. And Dave, I do see you on line one. I want to get your call now before we do get to Taya Reimer, senior forward from Fishers, Indiana. She will join us to talk about Michigan State women's basketball senior night tonight. But a few key stats from the men's basketball game last night. Michigan State outscoring Illinois 43-26 in the second half. The Spartans had 20 assists on 24 made field goals, showing, you know, just how unselfish this team is from top to bottom. They've thrown up statistics like that all year when it comes to assist on made field goals. MSU also had 14 second chance points and scored 24 points in the paint, connected on 84.6% of its free throws, 22 of 26 from the line, and after hitting 54.5% of their first half three-pointers, Illinois was limited to none in the second half. Defense, thy name is Michigan State University. MSU held Illinois to 27.3% shooting, and after committing 7 turnovers in the first half, MSU had only 1 in the second half. As I mentioned, this 27-3 record is the best start in program history. The 27 wins by the Spartans are the most in a regular season under head coach Tom Izzo. The 11-game win streak is tied for the longest in the country with Grambling. And head coach Tom Izzo has now led Michigan State to 8 Big Ten regular season championships. Again, if Michigan State beats Wisconsin on the road this Sunday, this will be the first outright Big Ten championship since 2009, only MSU's 3rd in the Tom Izzo era and only the 6th in program history. Just brief thoughts from engineer Ian Hawley. Takeaways from last night. I know you probably watched it sitting on the couch last night as Karina Garcia helped me cover that game last night. But brief thoughts and takeaways from last night's senior day performance in a win, a convincing win in the second half over Illinois, Ian.
Well, first of all, as far as the game itself goes, I read an article by Graham Couch the other day from the Lansing State Journal that says you should never lead with "it was a tale of two halves," but it kind of was in this story. Michigan State looked like that team that struggles to find themselves early on in games in the first half. But then it was the same thing as Northwestern. You know, they kind of had a flip-flop, and they played really stout defense in the second half. I thought there wasn't really a standout member of the team who looked bad to me in last night's game. There wasn't one person who I could point to and say, oh, we were struggling because of this person's performance. But a great victory, a good way to stick it out. Sorry, I'm stuttering all over the place here.
No, you're
today.
Good. You're good.
But the coolest part for me was the championship ceremony. As a lifelong Big Ten basketball fan, I've looked forward to moments like that. I'm sorry I wasn't there to see it last, but cool for Karina to be able to see that. And hopefully you and I will get to get out to New York to see the Big Ten tournament.
Only time will tell, my man. That's still pending. But yeah, thoughts on Michigan State's Big Ten championship clinching win? You know, and you know, it's funny because just to read a quick tweet from a pretty big name in Michigan State sports. Congratulations to Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball players for clinching the Big Ten title and beating Illinois. That comes from the great Irvin Magic Johnson on his Twitter page. But he's catching a lot of flack for saying clinching on Twitter. What's wrong with that? Why are we so nitpicky on social media?
It's all semantics, man. People hide behind the screens and just complain about the nitpicky wordiness all day long.
I hate social media sometimes. All right. Sorry for those watching via Facebook.com/currentsports, though. We don't hate you. Gosh, social media can be so petty sometimes. Dave on line one. Dave, welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, thank you, Al. Quickly, I think that I guess I use the boxing analogy. Right now, the last two teams they played had injured players, which also helped. And really, for the most part, Minnesota the same way was missing a lot of players. You put the big guy from Illinois, who was out now his fourth game with a concussion in there. Mm-hmm. It may change things. But right now, really starting with the Purdue game, Schilling's turned out to be a force defensively. So, you know, I don't think I'm picking on him when I say that Nick Ward can have lapses defensively. And also, he seems to get a little brain lock sometimes or stubbornness when he gets the ball low. And by golly, he's going to blast through a triple team or a double team and nothing good happens. But with Schilling coming on, and also with Xavier Tillman coming on, which his fast break last night is his long pass back skill was a thing of beauty, which I, you know, was watching with some people. I said, Tillman's light's gone on. You know, he's figuring things out that, you know, he has to run and he has to haul it down the court when for that outlet pass, because that's what's expected now. I just think that if Michigan State starts off slow in the tournament, they just got to hope, because they're going to be playing teams by the time you get hopefully to the Sweet 16. Those teams are going to have as deep of benches, and those teams are going to have 3-4 starters who can all shoot the way Michigan State does. Now, last night, they didn't get some point production from some people, but since really halfway through the season, Cassius Winston has turned into much more of a scoring threat than he has been.
Oh, he's been fantastic. Cassius Winston is the X factor. Yeah.
So you look at if you got Winston and Langford and all those starters shooting threes.
Right.
Ward's the only guy who really isn't a 3-point guy, and it really changes some dynamics. So I'll just leave with this. I think something Franz Priscilla said last night was, you know, Miles Bridges, yeah, he's probably gone. I cannot imagine him wanting to stick around for another year. Mm-hmm. But with Jaren Jackson, he said it, and I've heard some other folks say it too. He's not from your normal run-of-the-mill, you know, he's not from a regular family.
They have NBA ties, WNBA ties with his mom, yeah.
Dad's made decent money along the way, mm-hmm. and mom's done okay too.
Right.
So it's not like a lot of these kids whose folks have really given up a lot of travel and team fees and that kind of stuff to go.
Yeah.
I mean, Jaren's had a good life, and he only turned 18 after school started.
Yeah, a few months ago.
He's a young guy. So I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that maybe his folks decide, might tell him, you can stick around at MSU another year if you want to. And he gets, you know, what does he do? He just gets stronger, and they probably buy an insurance policy for him. I'm not expecting it, you know, but yeah. I think it is. I think it's a 50-50 proposition. So,
all right.
You know, thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call. And, yeah, I think personally, if I'm being rumored to possibly be the number one overall NBA draft pick, I'm chucking up the deuces. I'm out. I'm about to get paid. I'm going to the NBA. All right.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, he may or may not pan out in his first year. I mean, you just never know. It's a crapshoot when it comes to these young studs, especially in these recent years of NBA draft picks. You just never know what you're going to get now. But, hey, if you are projected to go top five or, in Jaren's case, rumored to possibly be a number one overall draft pick, go get that money, dollar bill, y'all. All right? Cha-ching. All right, let's get to our guest for today is Current Sports. She is a former Current Sports production assistant who is pretty good at this thing called basketball. She, along with Lexi Gussert, along with Brandy Agee, and I really can't believe, man, time has really flown, because I remember when these young women first came to the program, and now they were all be, you know, talk about chucking up the deuces. They will all be leaving the program. But Brandy Agee, Kiara Carter, Lexi Gussert, Kennedy Johnson, as well as our guest right now, Taya Reimer from Fishers, Indiana, will be saying goodbye to East Lansing. Taya Reimer, senior forward for MSU women's basketball. Taya, welcome to the show. Thank you for waiting so patiently.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back via phone.
Definitely. Taya, first off, let's get right to it. What does this day feel like? I mean, from the moment you've woken up, you know, this morning, realizing that this would be the last time that you play a game in front of the Spartan fans at the Breslin, what kind of emotions are going through your mind right now and your body leading up to tip off against Wisconsin tonight?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a weird feeling. It's a surreal feeling. I don't think it's 100% hit me yet. It probably won't hit me until I'm about to kiss the Spartan head and walk off the court for the last time. But I don't know. I mean, it's exciting. I think our senior group has been a really great group. And, you know, we've all kind of been talking about it. Like, it's not even real yet. Like, we were talking about it yesterday when we had an interview all together, and we were just like, it doesn't even feel like it's about to be, you know, the end of the season, last home game. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to try not to be super emotional. me and Lexi are kind of the emotional ones in the group, so we'll see how it goes.
You know, I want to go back to your decision to come to Michigan State, Taya, after, you know, having a stint at Notre Dame. When you first walked on this campus, when you met Susie Merchant, you know, when you walked around East Lansing, what really convinced you that this was home? This would be your next home?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just that the family atmosphere. I mean, it felt like home. I think that that's something that was always really important to me and to my family. That's just always been how we are as people. So I think that, you know, Coach Merchant and everybody on the staff, all of the players, it's just such a tight-knit group. And, you know, it's about more than basketball. So I think that was something that really convinced me. And, you know, being at Notre Dame, we played Michigan State my first 2 years. In my sophomore year, we played at Michigan State. And I just remember, like, the atmosphere, all of the fans being crazy. And it was just so hype, so much emotion in their gym and just in their team. And I just always remember, like, not wanting to play Michigan State because of that, because they were such a tough opponent. And so, you know, when I was going through that recruiting process the second time around, I was like, well, I definitely don't want to play against them. I think it would be way better to play with them. So that was something that went into it too.
During your time here, Taya, fans have gotten a chance to know you, and you've really become a fan favorite at the Breslin Center. For those like myself who will never know what it's like putting on the Spartan jersey and going out there and playing the game in front of Spartan Nation, how would you put it into words? What is it like playing at the Breslin Center?
I mean, it's just amazing. I think that, you know, we have so many fans every single game, no matter who we're playing, and so many people that, you know, just truly love us and support us. And, I mean, not even just being in the Breslin Center, but, you know, when we're around Lansing or if we're in Okemos, you know, going out to eat, doing anything, you know, there's so many people that come up to us and say how much that they appreciate us and everything that we do for the community. And, you know, we always get a Go Green anytime we're out. So it's just amazing because there's so much support in the community. And especially for women's basketball, you don't always see that, especially at a school like this where football is so big and men's basketball is so big. So it's just so nice to have that support for our team. And we just really love it. And it's been something that's so amazing to me. Definitely something that I have appreciated and haven't taken for granted.
Again, if you're just now joining us here on the back end of WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with senior forward Taya Reimer. Taya, along with Brandi Agee, Kiara Carter, Lexi Gussard, and Kennedy Johnson will all be honored tonight after the dust settles on the Michigan State and Wisconsin women's basketball game, the final home game for Susie Merchant's team. And speaking of Susie Merchant, Taya, that's where I want to go next. I mean, what kind of relationship have you cultivated throughout your time here at MSU with Susie Merchant, and what has she meant to your development as a player and a person?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we have a really close relationship, and I think that she has that with all of her players, and, you know, part of that is definitely ups and downs, but I think that that's something that I've always appreciated about her is, you know, she's not going to sugarcoat anything and she's going to be real with you, I mean, on and off the court. And I think that that's been something that has really helped me grow as a person and as a player. And I mean, you know, like I said, I wanted to come here because of the family atmosphere, and she's been a mentor to me. She's been like a second mom to me. And she's just been everything. I think the entire staff, and especially Coach Mox, she's been my position coach. Both of them have just meant the world to me, and they've definitely really pushed me and helped me so much on and off the court.
And speaking of off the court, what kind of advice has Susie Merchant given you away from the basketball court? And do you have a favorite Susie Merchant story that you can tell here, FCC approved? That's a tough one, right?
A lot of stories.
I'm sure.
I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, for me, something that just kind of goes back to, like, that family atmosphere and just her, like, being more than just a coach. I mean, I can remember over the summer, especially, I think it was mostly me, Lexi, and Kennedy, we would just go over to her house all the time and just, like, hang out by the pool, hang out with her boys. You know, she would cook some food for us. She makes really good Oreo fluff. It's, like, her signature dessert.
Nice,
and
okay.
So we would just, like, go over and hang out with her and, you know, watch movies, watch TV, talk about stuff. We always talked about Power. That's like her favorite show. And so we always
stop. Are you serious? Susie Merchant's favorite show is Power on Stars. That's one of my favorite shows too. Everybody loves that show, I guess, right?
I know. She's always talking about it. So I just remember like summer days just doing that and hanging out with her and, you know, hanging out with her family. And that's just something that was really special to me because it's, you know, it's more than just the hours that we're putting in the gym, in the weight room, all of that stuff.
When you look at this senior class, Taya, you know, Brandi Agee, Kiara Carter, Lexi Gussard, Kennedy Johnson, and yourself, you know, when I look at that list, I think there's one player that our listeners don't know much about, and that's Kiara Carter, because, you know, Kiara is not, you know, she's not a player who gets a lot of playing time. She has really been a really great assistant for you all as players, and I think on the coaching side as well, if I'm correct. Can you tell us a little bit about Kiara Carter and what we should know, what our listeners should know if they don't know much about her?
Yeah, I think one thing about Kiara is she has a great basketball IQ. And yeah, she's had so many injuries too, and that's something that, you know, she's so tough because she's battled a lot of injuries, and, you know, it's been tough from that standpoint because right when, you know, you think that you're going to be able to contribute a little bit more on the court, she's had some things kind of go wrong a little bit, but she has such a high basketball IQ, and she's someone that, you know, in practice, in games, she's always helping us, trying to find things that we can do as players, helping the coaches out. And that was something that I was really surprised by, because, you know, some players don't always have that. Certain times you can get away with certain things. But for her, just having that IQ, it's been something that's really helpful. And I think it's something that people should know, just because, you know, just because she hasn't had as much time on the court, she's still been helping a lot of us. You know, even just on the bench or on the sidelines of practice.
Certainly. And for you, Taya, who have you grown the closest with on this team? And who do you think, you know, years and years from now, you guys will be growing old as best friends when you look at this team?
I would say I'm definitely close with everybody on the team. And that's something that, I mean, I really appreciate. You know, we all get along. But I would say that Lexi and Kennedy those are like my people. So we're like the three amigos. And especially me and Kennedy, like the coaches call us the Twinkies because we look alike. Everybody thinks that we're actually related. But
really? I can see that a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I know. It's literally like at least once a day we get like asked if we're sisters or if we're twins. But I mean, those two, I would say us living together and being seniors and experiencing so many things together. I think in these last 2 years, we really grew up a lot as people. And I think that we all had a part in each other's growth. And I think that, you know, I've been through some things where I was before and coming here. I think that those two were the two that really accepted me the most, just for who I am, and really made me feel like I could be who I was and didn't have to just sugarcoat it or try to hide anything or make anything different. So I definitely will keep those two as my friends probably until we're in the old folks home, I'm guessing.
Right? The two Twinkies in the old folks home, right? In the retirement home.
Exactly.
That's great stuff, Taya.
At the hip for life, so.
For sure, for sure. All right. Well, you guys are 15-12. I know there have been many injuries on this team. You guys are 5-9 in the conference. But record aside, I just kind of want you to reflect on your time, even dating back to Notre Dame. You know, when you do, when the season is all packed away and done, and your career is all packed away and done collegiately, what kind of a player do you want to be remembered as, Taya? And also, what do you think's on the horizon for you next? I know you're probably going to try to play professionally, right?
I would say I just want to be remembered as somebody, I mean, not even necessarily as a player, like just somebody that was a good person, like within the program, within the team, you know, within the community, somebody that, I don't know, just was appreciative of everything, somebody that, you know, little girls could look up to. I think that that's the most important thing. You know, obviously, I would like to be remembered as a good player, and I've definitely worked hard and tried to be that, but I think that if you can be a good person and you can inspire people in that way, then that's the most important thing you can do. And I hope that by watching our senior class and by watching our team, there are little girls here in Michigan, little girls, you know, all over the country that decide that they want to play basketball and they want to try to play at this level and do things with their lives. So I think that would be really special. And yeah, I'm definitely hoping to play professionally. So everything is a little up in the air right now, but I love playing basketball. It's, you know, been my thing since I can remember, and, definitely am nowhere near being done. So I'm going to try to play here and definitely play overseas and, ride that out as long as I can, as long as my body will let me. So that's the plan.
All right. Well, Taya, I can't wait to see you tonight, you and the rest of the your fellow teammates who are seniors who will be honored after the game tonight. Again, Taya Reimer, MSU senior forward from Fishers, Indiana. And Taya, you better believe that come the post-game press conference, I will be asking Susie about her Oreo fluff and the show power, okay?
Okay, good. Good.
I got you.
She will be so surprised. She'll probably be shocked.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
That'll be funny.
Because that's one of my favorite shows, too. I love that show. Omari Hardwick.
I know. It's a great show.
Oh, yeah, that's my guy.
He's her favorite, so ask her about that.
So she loves Omari Hardwick. You know, Omari as well, he's my fraternity brother, too. He's an alpha. So
Wow. Okay. Well, you definitely have to ask her about that.
I will. You better. And I'm gonna blame it on you, Taya. All right?
Okay. Okay.
Taya, we'll see you tonight, and congratulations, all right?
Okay. Thank you so much, Al.
Okay, well, we have about 4 minutes left here in the show. I do believe we have a caller on line one. It's our dear friend, Jason. Jason, what's up, my man?
Not much, brother. What's going on?
Another day, another dollar. Just trying to pay the rent. What's up?
Great to see that banner once again hung in the Breslin Center.
Wasn't that a cool atmosphere? Were you at the game?
I was not at the game. I did watch it online, and I watched the senior celebration afterwards online also, so...
I must say, Jason, that to kind of piggyback on what our previous caller, Dave, noted, the slow starts do concern me. I have to say that. We all know how good Michigan State is, but they start slow far too often, and especially on the road. They've done that far too often. There are no more home games. If MSU comes out the gate, they got
to
come out the gates more focused. That's all I'm saying.
That is true, and we... You know, we get to go over to Badger Nation this on Sunday and, make those guys look silly because everybody else has made them look silly this year. So hopefully we just don't, we don't start off slow like we have as of recent. But
Certainly.
You know, Miles held true to what he said he was going to do. He was going to come back. He wanted a championship, and he led the team 2-1. But, you know, the thing is the other freshman that we have in Jaren Jackson last night hit the 100 block mark on the season.
How about that, right? Very impressive.
The discussion that we had right toward the beginning of the season when he was going off.
Right.
You know, could he hit that 100 mark? Well, yes, he did. And listening to the guys call the game last night, I really would not be surprised if Jaren Jackson is the number one player taken in the draft. It would not surprise me at all.
I wouldn't either.
Shooting 43% from behind the arc.
Right.
You know, 100 blocks. Well, it's going to be 100 plus after Sunday's game. But
yeah, I wouldn't either, Jason. But we got to move, but yeah.
Get a hold of me. We'll talk about the PSAs and have a good one. It was a great show, and we will talk to you later, brother. Be easy.
Thank you so much, Jason. And, keep it locked to Facebook.com/CurrentSports. We'll have a 2-minute drill report on MSU Women's Basketball Senior Day. Be easy, people.